views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. Each week, you'll learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness and explore the deeper knowledge within. Welcome home. Now here's your host, Dr. Kelly Neff.
Let us help you experience some major inspiration, creativity, and knowledge. Every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on Lucid Planet Radio, we will have some of the most gifted scientists, healers, authors, and speakers helping you to discover the greatest version of yourself. You can find out more at thelucidplanet.com and listen to all show archives at lucidplanetradio.com. I am absolutely thrilled about today's guests. I have been bouncing around all day. This guest, I have read several of his books, and his now banned TED Talk on the War on Consciousness actually moved me to tears the first time I watched it, and I watched it three times in a row on repeat, and it just blew my mind. Rarely in this world, but it does happen, one single human can make an enormous impact upon the world, upon rational thought, and about how we see ourselves in our future. And for me, today's guest, Graham Hancock, is one of those people. And I'm really excited. So let's kick off the Thanksgiving holiday with a real awesome treat today. And let me just tell you a little bit about Graham Hancock. He is the author of the major international nonfiction bestsellers, Sign in the Seal, Fingerprints of the Gods, The Message of the Sphinx, Heaven's Mirror, Underworld, and Supernatural, and also of the epic adventure novels Entangled and War God. I love War God. I can't wait for the third book. Anyway, his books have sold more than 7 million copies worldwide, and they have been translated into 30 languages. His public lectures, his radio and his TV appearances, and two major series, including The Quest for the Lost Civilization and Flooded Kingdoms of the Ice Age, as well as his strong presence on the internet, has put his ideas really before tens of millions of people. He has been recognized as an unconventional thinker who raises resonant questions about humanity's past and about our present predicament. And in February of 2015, Graham Hancock was voted number 30 on the Watkins list of the 100 most spiritually influential living people. Wow. So today we are here really to talk about his new book, Magicians of the Gods, which was published in the UK on the 10th of September and in the US on the 10th of November. And I was fortunate enough to receive an advanced copy of the book. And let me tell you, it was epic. And now you can order it for yourself on Amazon. We are taking callers today. I know many of our fans and listeners have questions, and I have some questions already. Please feel free to call in if you want to speak to Graham, 1-800-930-2819. And we are also giving away signed book plates of Magicians of the Gods to be placed in the book to three lucky listeners. And you can call in to win, again, 1-800-930-2819. Or you can email me at Dr. Kelly Neff if you want one of those book plates, or tweet me at The Lucid Planet on Twitter. So that being said, let's give a very warm welcome to Graham on the show today. Hi, Graham.
Hi, Kelly. Good to hear you.
Good to hear you, too. You sound great. Before we jump into Magicians of the Gods, I want to just ask you about kind of the public perception and what it's like to be dubbed kind of a modern day Indiana Jones by your fans. To many people, you are really a true hero for standing up to the hypocrisy and kind of the insanity of our society. And then you also have these critics across various mainstream sciences and areas that really have tried to kind of discredit and slander your work or call it pseudoscience. What is it like to be in the public eye and elicit such strong reactions from people?
Yes, it's a curious situation, I have to say. First of all, as regards my readers and those who are interested in and support my work, all I can do is express gratitude. You know, I would just be a guy sitting at a keyboard typing away kind of meaninglessly if it wasn't for the fact that people read me. And it's the people who read me and the people who send me solidarity and positive energy every day who give me any strength that I have. Without my readers, I'm absolutely nothing. And I recognize that and I honor that. And every time I meet my readers at events or wherever it is, I give them 100% of my attention because they are the most important people in my world. As to the critics, it's inevitable when we start exploring unconventional ideas which don't fit into the mainstream paradigm, which are not regarded as worthy by the mainstream, that those ideas will be attacked. Mm-hmm. What has surprised me over the years is the insidious nature and the dishonest nature of the attacks. And actually, you touched on one of those, because very often my critics call me a pseudoscientist. They say Hancock is a pseudoscientist. Now, mm-hmm. that is intended to be a put down so that immediately, without actually anybody really reading my work or investigating further, they just ignore me because I'm this so-called pseudoscientist. And it intrigues me that they go for this route, because I cannot possibly be a pseudoscientist. Pseudo means false, and I cannot be a false scientist because I've never claimed to be a scientist. I do not claim that. I claim to be a journalist. My job is to synthesize information and to do so in a thorough, detailed manner across a wide range of sciences. That doesn't mean I'm a scientist. That means I'm somebody who sometimes writes about science. In fact, I feel, you know, that I'm no more a pseudoscientist than a dolphin is a pseudo fish. You know, I may be found in some of the same places that scientists go. I may look a bit like them, but fundamentally, I'm a completely different beast. And I don't claim to be a scientist. I claim to be a journalist. So that put down, it has worked very successfully in the past to turn people off my work, but I think it is less and less effective, and that's partly because of a change of outlook in the age we live in now. 20 years ago, people were daunted by authority. If an authority figure stood up and said, you know, Hancock's work is rubbish, a lot of people would just believe that and not look further. But these days, authority itself is so tainted. We've had so many experiences of authority figures lying to us, whether they be politicians, whether they be magnates from big corporations, whether they be even religious figures, that the power of authority is no longer there. And we have a new questioning, open-minded generation that wants to find out stuff for themselves. And that's where I see the greatest hope, actually.
Absolutely. You talk about how we are a society living in amnesia. And, you know, I'm an optimist. I believe that things can change, and I wouldn't be doing this, right? I'm sure you're probably in the same boat. You wouldn't put all this effort in if you didn't believe that we could wake up from our amnesia and we could start connecting and start finding answers.
I do believe that, and I see evidence for it everywhere. It's my privilege to travel around the world and to speak to audiences in many different countries. And what I see, it's particularly amongst young people, but it isn't confined to young people, is a global awakening taking place. Now, it's small at the moment. The dark forces that want to shut us down and keep us locked in a kind of mental prison are still powerful in the world, but they're not as powerful as they were. And people are asking the difficult questions and finding out for themselves what's really going on and just not putting up with all the nonsense that has plagued humanity for so long. There is a new spirit in the air, and I also feel very optimistic about that and about the future. I think this is a time of great change. It's a time truly of when paradigms shift, when the continental plates shift in our ideas, and we suddenly see new possibilities opening up. And if I'm part of that, even a small part of it, then I'm very pleased to be there.
Well, you are definitely part of it. Certainly for me, like I said, your TED Talk kind of spurred me on this totally different direction in my life, and I ended up here on the radio and with the Lucid Planet website and becoming a writer. And I really owe a lot of that to you, because what you talked about, that the idea that we should have that right to experiment with our consciousness, that linear thinking and in-the-box thinking has landed us in this crap. and that we need solutions. And how can we find those solutions, you know?
Exactly. And that my TED talk, which was called The War on Consciousness, it really is an example of this. I mean, TED just pulled authority and removed that talk from the internet because they didn't like what I was saying. And fundamentally, what I was saying is that it's an abuse of human rights for the state to tell adults what they may or may not do with their own bodies and particularly with the inner sanctum of their own consciousness, so long as they do no harm to others. And this seemed to be a message that TED did not want to hear, the notion of sovereignty over consciousness. And yet it is the most fundamental issue. If we as adults are not sovereign over our own consciousness, then we actually don't have any meaningful freedom at all, because consciousness is the essence of what we are. If we're not sovereign over that, if the state holds the keys to our consciousness, as it claims to do through the banning, for example, of psychedelic drugs, and increasingly entering into private areas of our lives under the guise of healthcare as well, then we're not free in any meaningful way.
And you know what's so fantastic is that by banning it, they just really drew more attention to it, because
the internet hates censorship.
Yeah, you can't take something like it, this isn't like the 1940s. Like, you can't just take something off and expect nobody to see it. This is, you know, we have this freedom now. So the fact that it was banned.
Fortunately, a number of people had already uploaded the talk before it was banned. And as a result, I then issued an appeal out through Facebook, and lots of people put it up on their YouTube channels. And the whole situation got completely out of TED's control. And the video ended up actually having millions of views and becoming very prominent. So TED really shot themselves in the foot with this attempt at censorship.
They absolutely did. And I think it's fantastic. So if you haven't checked that out, you should definitely look up The War on Consciousness, Graham Hancock's banned TED Talk. It'll change your life. Maybe. It did for me. We are going to take a quick break right now. And when we come back, Graham Hancock and I, we're going to discuss Magicians of the Gods and ancient civilizations and all this fun, exciting stuff. So you are listening to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. Stay tuned, and we will be right back.
Legend lives on from the Chippewa on down at the big lake they call Gitche-Gumee. The lake, it is said, never gives up her dead when the skies of November turn gloomy.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good, and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home. Has asthma or allergies got you singing the raspy blues? Allergy and Asthma Networks is the nation's premier nonprofit patient-centered network of doctors, caregivers, patients, and healthcare professionals who are dedicated to ending death and suffering due to asthma, allergies, and related conditions. Join President and CEO Tanya Winders each month on the Dr. Pat Show to learn more, and visit allergyasthmanetwork.org today. Breathe better together with Allergy and Asthma Network.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
1230 WBLQ.
are back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, and my guest today is author and inspirational human, Graham Hancock. Before we continue, I just want to make sure everyone knows how to contact you, Graham. Could you give us your info for our listeners and tell them where they can find out more about your books, your talks, your research, your appearances, and how to buy Magicians of the Gods?
Okay, well, the answer is it's all on my website, which is www.grahamhancock.com, grahamhancock.com, and there's a dedicated section on Magicians of the Gods there. There's links to my Facebook and Twitter pages. I'm very active on my author page on Facebook, and you simply need to like that page and you'll get the feed from there. It's a good way to be in touch with me. But the website has got all the information on everything, on my upcoming talks and events all over the United States and in Canada between now and the middle of December, details on the book. Everything's there on grahamhancock.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Graham. And remember, if you have questions for Graham, you can call us during the live show, 1-800-930-2819. And if you want to win one of three signed book plates by Graham that will go into Magicians of the Gods, you can also email me at drkellyneff@gmail.com or tweet me at The Lucid Planet. That's a really sweet giveaway. Thank you for doing that.
It's a pleasure.
Absolutely. And so let's talk about Magicians of the Gods. I guess the best place to start is, who were the Magicians of the Gods? Were they aliens or just white humans?
I don't think they were aliens. I have nothing against aliens. I'm sure the universe is filled with intelligent and sentient life. But I see no need to invoke aliens for the mysteries of ancient archaeological sites around the world. There are certainly anomalies, and it is those anomalies and puzzles that dilate the imagination that lead us to contemplate the possibility of alien involvement. But a much simpler, much more elegant, and in the end, much more persuasive and workable explanation is that we are dealing with the handiwork, the remnants, if you like, the fingerprints of a lost civilization, a lost advanced human civilization, actually Atlantis by any other name, and the source of our recollections of Atlantis come down to us from the Greek philosopher Plato, a lost advanced civilization that was destroyed in a global cataclysm around 12,000 years ago, that there were some survivors, that they settled amongst hunter-gatherer peoples who also lived in the world at that time. Remember, we're an advanced civilization today, but we coexist on the planet with hunter-gatherers and nomadic peoples, and I think that that was the case in the past as well. There were survivors, they settled amongst hunter-gatherers, and they sought to pass on their knowledge and their skills in an attempt to rebuild and remake the great civilization that had been destroyed. And really, to place all of this in context, it's important to understand that we now do have the firm and really absolutely irrefutable scientific evidence that a global cataclysm did unfold between 12,800 and 11,600 years ago, and that this cataclysm, which was also responsible for massive wide-scale animal extinctions, particularly the megafauna, creatures like the woolly rhino and the mammoth and so on, went extinct suddenly and mysteriously at that time. This cataclysm wiped almost completely from the face of the earth an advanced civilization that had existed before it, leaving only a few survivors. And that advanced civilization, that golden age, is remembered in myths and traditions all around the world. Up to now, historians and archaeologists haven't been interested in that thought. They think they've got the past completely taped. But this recent scientific evidence, which has only begun to be published in scientific journals since 2007, for an extinction-level cataclysm between 12,800 and 11,600 years ago, right in the foundations of what we've been taught is the beginning of the story of the origins of civilization, means that we have to think again about that story. Indeed, that everything we've been taught about the origins of civilization could be wrong, because those teachings have not taken account of the extinction-level cataclysm that happened immediately before what we think of as the beginnings of civilization. I don't think it was the beginnings. I think it was the re-beginnings, the remakings of civilization from the ruins of a former world.
And you present you do a great job of summarizing the scientific evidence. And this is peer-reviewed scientific data from sites really across the world that's measuring these nanodiamonds and sediment and really levels
of... And not only nanodiamonds, Kelly, there are distinct traces that are left behind in a distinct stratum in the Earth when you have a cosmic impact. And what we have in what's called the Younger Dryas boundary 12,800 years ago is a thick layer of soot and ash, which speaks of continent-wide wildfires. And mingled within that are indeed nanodiamonds. Now, these nanodiamonds are created by the shock and heat of a violent cosmic impact. When a rock from outer space comes in at 70,000 miles an hour, it is packing an enormous amount of kinetic energy, enormous amount of heat, dwarfs the entire nuclear arsenal of the Earth going off at once. And this creates these nanodiamonds, only visible under a microscope. It creates carbon spherules. It leaves a trace of temperatures in excess of 2,200 degrees centigrade, which is the boiling point of quartz. It turns sand into glass, like the trinitite that was found after the first nuclear explosions. It's absolutely unmistakable, a layer of iridium, platinum anomalies in the soil. All of this speaks eloquently of a cosmic impact. And the dating is absolutely clear. There were impacts 12,800 years ago, and there were further impacts 11,600 years ago, and the 1,200 years in between, which has always been a mysterious geological episode. Geologists call it the Younger Dryas, was 1,200 years of utter hell on Earth. And our ancestors passed through this, and we lost, I believe, an entire civilization from the record. And we are only now getting to the point where we can piece together that broken record and recover from our amnesia and discover what we've lost.
So do you believe that Atlantis is in the former Sundaland or Indonesia, where it used to be one giant landmass?
I think it was global, actually. But Indonesia is a very interesting area to look, simply because, A, an enormous amount of land was lost to rising sea levels at the end of the last ice age, these colossal floods that occurred in precisely that epoch. And secondly, because Indonesia is constantly surprising us, we keep on finding things that rewrite the human story in Indonesia. And there is now the discovery of a pyramid in Indonesia, with dates being taken out of it from deep drill cores into the structure that go back 20,000 years. And this is a highly sophisticated structure, which simply cannot be explained in the existing model that says only hunter-gatherers lived then. This is the work of a specialized, very knowledgeable people equipped with advanced construction abilities and also advanced astronomical skills. And the same is true at another mysterious site on the other side of the world, which is Göbekli Tepe in Turkey, a site that was deliberately buried by the mysterious people who made it, and which turns out to be the largest megalithic site on Earth, more than 50 times larger than Stonehenge. And now we know, absolutely, there's no even any argument about this in the scientific community. Göbekli Tepe is 7,000 years older than Stonehenge, and there is absolutely no background to it. It comes up out of nowhere, this vast megalithic site with perfect astronomical alignments, which was started 11,600 years ago after the second cataclysm caused by the comet impacts, and which ran for 1,200 years, was used as a center of innovation in that area. Agriculture spreads rapidly in that area at that time, having never appeared before, and then which was buried by the people who made it, deliberately buried, covered up, carefully covered up and preserved like a time capsule, and remained then untouched for more than 10,000 years until the German Archaeological Institute found it and started to excavate it in the second half of the 1990s.
And so you propose in the book that maybe these ancient civilizations, such as like Pillar 43 at Göbekli Tepe and the Great Sphinx of Giza, that these were built 12,000 years ago to send us a message about the future. But for us, what is that message?
Well, Göbekli Tepe is, in my mind, for sure, a time capsule. The deliberate burial of it is very mysterious, and it was very effective. I mean, actually, the word Göbekli Tepe in Turkish language means pot-bellied hill, and the whole pot-bellied hill that stands over the top of it is entirely artificial. It was put there by human beings to deeply bury this site and preserve it for the future. We don't have time to go into details. All the information is in the book, but there is a pillar at Göbekli Tepe. It's Pillar 43 in Enclosure D, for reference, and it contains an astronomical diagram. It contains a representation of the constellations that we call Sagittarius and Scorpio, which stand on either side of the dark rift at the center of the Milky Way. And it shows the sun sitting directly over that dark rift. And this is exactly the imagery of the Mayan calendar, the imagery of the cosmic rebirth from the womb of the galaxy, because the ancient Maya saw the dark rift at the center of the Milky Way as the place of rebirth in the heavens. And the plain fact is that the only time that the sun sits over the center of the galaxy between the constellations of Sagittarius and Scorpio at the winter solstice, the moment of rebirth when the old year ends and the new year begins, that's in our time today. That's not 12,800 years ago. So it suggests, A, that the people who created Göbekli Tepe 12,800 years ago were able to simulate the changes in the sky that occur because of a phenomenon called the precession of the Earth's axis. The Earth is the viewing platform from which we observe the stars. So changes in its orientation changed the star field, changed the appearance of the star field. And secondly, that they created a deliberate image of the sky of our time to pass down a message to us. And that message, I think, is pay attention to the sky. The same sky, the same comet, the fragments of which caused the disaster between 12,800 and 11,600 years ago, other fragments are still in orbit today. And we cross their path twice a year, at the end of June and during November. And that message, pay attention, is a message that now is being picked up by many astronomers who are concerned about the Taurid meteor stream, because the Taurid meteor stream is the debris field, the remnant of that former giant comet.
I can't wait to talk more about this after the break and what you refer to in the book as the return of the phoenix. So we're going to keep going with this Magicians of the Gods and see what all of these messages from the past really mean for us and our future. When we come back, I'm Dr. Kelly, and you are listening to Lucid Planet Radio with Graham Hancock. See you after the break.
Between the darkness on the street and the houses filling up with light, between the stillness in my heart and the roar of the approaching night, somebody's calling after somebody. Somebody turns a corner out of sight, looking for somebody. Somewhere in the night.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet, welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you're ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com. That's thefearandanxietysolution.com, or call 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-6463. Mind.
Let the transition begin. Tune in to the hit show, Majestic Insights Radio, Success for Life's Transitions, with host Carrie Keith. Carrie is a gifted intuitive coach, healer, and teacher who will lead you through her empowering techniques of ancient wisdom and awareness so you can live your happiest, healthiest, and most vibrant life. Let Carrie teach you the tools of transformation that will help you experience success for all of life's transitions. To learn more about Carrie, visit www.majesticinsights.com.
1230 WBLQ.
It's a long, long a trip I never wanted to make since I've been gone.
We are back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, and I am here with Graham Hancock talking about his new book, Magicians of the Gods. When we left off, we were just speaking about the Taurid meteor stream and how the comet Encke in the Taurid meteor stream could be the same comet that created this unbelievable cataclysm 12,800 years ago. And in Magicians, Graham, you talk about this return of the phoenix, that it could be coming back.
Yeah. Well, it's important to be clear about this. Comet Encke is one of the parts of the Taurid meteor stream. And what it is it's a fragment of the original giant comet that devastated the Earth with those impacts 12,800 years ago. See, comets are chunks of rock bound together by ice, and they can vary a lot in size. Many people may remember that Jupiter was hit by a comet in 1994. Yeah. That was Comet Shoemaker-Levy 9, so-called, and it was quite a small comet. It was only 2 kilometers in diameter. It broke up into 20 fragments, and those 20 fragments were drawn down by the colossal gravity of Jupiter, and they impacted Jupiter with just spectacular effect. Each of those impacts was more deadly in its power than the entire nuclear arsenal of the Earth going off at once. We're dealing with a much bigger comet than that. We're dealing with a comet when it first entered the inner solar system that was at least 100 kilometers, 60 miles in diameter, and may have been significantly more than that. And it, like all comets do, it was captured by the sun, it went into an orbit around the sun, an orbit that crossed the orbit of the Earth, and it began to break up into fragments. And 12,800 years ago, several of those fragments hit the Earth, particularly the North American ice cap. This was the ice age. North America, north of Minnesota, was covered by ice about 2 miles deep at that time. And the primary impacts were there. There were further impacts on the northern European ice cap, and the furthest east that the impacts have been traced is as far afield as Syria, as a matter of fact.
Wow.
The whole fingerprint of these impacts covers more than 50 million square kilometers of the Earth's surface, a very, very gigantic area. So this was not the whole comet that hit the Earth then. This was fragments of it, with remaining fragments staying in orbit, going around that orbit that the Earth crosses, in fact, twice a year. Further impacts 11,600 years ago. It looks like there were additional impacts in a smaller scale during the Bronze Age. Indeed, it may be possible that the ancient Egyptian meteorite cult, which is called the Benben cult, has something to do with this. The most recent impact from the debris stream of that giant comet was in our time. It was in 1908, literally just yesterday in historical terms. A bit of that comet, in this case about 100 meters in diameter, entered the Earth's atmosphere and exploded in the sky above, fortunately, an uninhabited area of Siberia on the 30th of June, 1908. It exploded 5 kilometers above the ground. It flattened 80 million trees, and it utterly devastated an area bigger than the city of London. If that object had, in fact, exploded over a center of urban population, we would all be very worried about what else is in the Taurid meteor stream today. And Comet Encke, which is one of the 19 very bright and visible elements of the Taurid meteor stream, is simply another fragment of that original giant comet. There's another comet-like object called Olgiato. There's another one called Drudniki. Calculations indicate that 100 asteroids are circulating in the Taurid meteor stream, each of them close to a mile in diameter. The Taurid meteor stream is the remnant of this disintegrated giant comet. We are still crossing its path twice a year. We cross it at the end of June, and we cross it again in November. And each crossing takes us 12 days, because I'm doing this in kilometers, but the Earth orbits at the rate of 2.5 million kilometers a day on its orbital path, and the Taurid meteor stream is 30 million kilometers wide. So it takes us 12 days to pass through it, and it's just blind luck that we haven't been hit more often, that we haven't had other extinction-level events like we did between 12,800 and 11,600 years ago. And the worry is, and many prominent astronomers such as Victor Klüb and Bill Napier, the late Sir Fred Hoyle, the mathematician Emilio Spedicato, have voiced and published this concern, that there may be an object up to 30 kilometers in diameter, 20 miles or more in diameter, 18 miles at any rate, sitting dark within the midst of the Taurid meteor stream. You see, when comets stop outgassing, the Comet tail is what we most associate a comet with. That's because of gases ejected by the comet. But sometimes they stop emitting that and they emit TARs instead. And those TARs completely wrap the comet fragment and make it dark and absolutely invisible to telescopes. But the calculations suggest that we are dealing with at least an 18-mile wide object in the Taurid meteor stream. So crossing the Taurid meteor stream is like strapping on a blindfold and crossing a six-lane interstate and hoping that we won't get hit. And we don't need to project gloom and doom about this. What we need to project is positivity. We have the technology now to make our cosmic environment entirely safe, to make sure that our children and our children's children have a great and brilliant future, and that we do not become the next lost civilization. The problem is we're not making that choice. The world is so filled with hatred and fear and suspicion at the moment that the big budgets are going to military expenditure, going to weapons of mass destruction, going to ever more inventive ways to slaughter and murder one another in large numbers. And we've taken our eye off the ball of the dangers of our cosmic environment. Right now, the cost of running a single McDonald's for a year is all that we're spending on looking for harmful asteroids and comets in our cosmic environment. And we're spending trillions on the military. This is a choice. We don't need to do that. We could change our priorities. We could concentrate on safeguarding and protecting the planet. And the technologies exist. They already exist to do that. It's simply a matter of choice. And I think now is the time for humanity to join together in a grand project. We're all brothers and sisters. We're all the same. The differences that divide us are totally artificial, and they've been deliberately manipulated by authority figures in our society. We need to change this, and this message from the heavens is a message of unity and hope for humanity, not of doom and destruction. But we do have to pay attention to it.
And really a message from our ancestors as well. I want to ask you a fan question, switching gears slightly, but I thought this kind of fits in nicely to what we're talking about. Jeff Bailey of Base Couch in Fort Collins, Colorado, asks, I would like to know what Graham thinks about the many spirals carved in megalithic stones around the world. I think it's curious that we're seeing spirals in the sky. The media is saying they're failed rocket launches. I wonder what Graham would say. The petroglyphs are so similar to the beautiful things we see in the sky. Possibly an advanced civilization was also failing rocket launches 15,000 years ago.
Well, I'm not sure whether or not they were doing rocket launches 15,000 years ago. I wouldn't rule it out, but I don't have the evidence for that. But these spirals, these petroglyphs showing these spiral patterns, to my mind, are representations of comets and of what a comet can look like. It's interesting that there is a global worldwide fear of comets. Every culture has traditions that regard comets as agents of destruction, and they're often associated with bringing illness as well as cataclysmic impacts. And this can't come from nowhere. There has to be some memory associated with this. And the new science tells us clearly what that memory is, that we suffered this 1,200 years of catastrophic bombardment as a result of our encounter with the fragments of a giant comet.
Mm-hmm. And so how funny that there's these consistencies across all of these ancient sites. And we only have a couple minutes before we go into the break, but it's something that's really fascinated me, the striking similarities in Turkey and Egypt and Peru and Lebanon, Easter Island, Indonesia. How could they all be so similar?
Well, and I go into this in depth in Magicians of the Gods, and the backup is there. But the answer to why they're all so similar is that they all come down from a remote common source. Yes, in historical times, these cultures were not in contact with one another. But if we go back far enough, we find that they all descend from a common source. The Magicians of the Gods, I chose that title deliberately because there is a memory in the traditions of ancient Mesopotamia, particularly ancient Sumer, of seven sages who were the bringers of civilization. And they were frequently called magicians, and their job was to travel the world and to share the knowledge of civilization. And we find them in Mexico in the form of Quetzalcoatl. We find them in South America in the Andes in the form of Viracocha. We find them in ancient Sumer, and we find their symbolism also in Göbekli Tepe, where we know it's at least 11,600 years old. So this is the remote common source that explains the similarities, the eerie, anomalous similarities that are found all around the world.
So fascinating. I just can't help but wonder, you know, if we could ever actually rewrite the history books, if we're ever going to get to that point where
yes, we
kind
can.
of
we we can rewrite the history books. It is happening now. There is an awakening all around the world. And we are rewriting the history books. The evidence is coming in day by day. More and more evidence supports this. We've lost a whole civilization, an advanced civilization, from the human record at a time when we've been taught that our ancestors were simply nomadic hunter-gatherers. This model of the origins of civilization that's been taught for more than 100 years in our schools and universities is wrong. It's completely wrong. It fails to take account of what happened between 12,800 and 11,600 years ago. And archaeologists are really scrambling now to catch up with this new scientific data.
So really, this is so groundbreaking. And we're going into the break right now. And we will be back for the last segment talking to Graham Hancock about our ancient history and our future. So this is Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. And we will be right back.
Say if I told you that you could change your life in only 1 hour and all while lying down relaxing. Thousands of people all over the world have. What am I talking about? It's called Access Consciousness the Bars. The Bars is an energetic body process that contains 32 different points on your head that, when run, assist you in releasing decisions about any area of your life that you have made solid and as a result cannot change. The Bars is the first class in Access Consciousness, a dynamic set of tools and information designed to transform any area of your life. When you have a Bars session, the worst that can happen is you feel like you had a fantastic massage. The best thing that can happen is your whole life could change. Go to accessconsciousness.com today to find a facilitator to schedule a private session or to find a Bars class in your area. Are you willing to give yourself an hour to change your life?
The doctor is in. Tune in to the hit show, The Psychic Love Doctor, with host Deborah Lee. Deborah's life-affirming, highly perceptive reading method has taught Deborah how to zero in on specific problems with relationships, career pursuits, and current roadblocks to success and happiness. Join Deborah Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific and for a special broadcast the second Thursday of every month at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
We Carry the Light with host Dr. Susan Allison is the show that inspires you to find the light within and shine your light in the world. You'll hear from guests who model how to be the highest, brightest, most evolved, fulfilled, and conscious humans possible. Tune in each Thursday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, on TransformationTalkRadio.com, and let Dr. Susan help you discover that you carry the unique light that only you can shine.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
Artie Hoffman is the hottest psychic with the warmest heart and the host of the hit show Angels and Answers. A renowned psychic, medium, spiritual life coach, and an entertaining motivational speaker, Artie has helped over 15,000 people with his amazing intuitive gifts, his passion, and his humor. Call 877-ANGEL-02 to schedule a personal reading or to have your own psychic Artie party. That's 877-ANGEL-02. And visit ArtieHoffman.com and Angels and Answers on on Facebook.
1230 WBLQ.
Welcome back to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. I am here with Graham Hancock talking about his new book, Magicians of the Gods, and also just about ancient civilizations and waking up for our amnesia and all this wonderful stuff. If you would like to win a signed book plate by Graham that you can put in your new book for Magicians of the Gods, you can call us right now at 1-800-930-2819. Again, we only have three of these. You can also email me at drkellyneff@gmail.com or tweet me at The Lucid Planet at Twitter. And if you have questions, you can also send them in to all of those sources. We're only on the air for the next 8 minutes, so get them in there. Graham, we talked a lot, we've talked a lot about kind of the way that the history books are changing and the way that we're advancing in our knowledge. And yet there seems to be this constant struggle back and forth between people wanting to do this research and being blocked by government, by organizations. Yeah. I know. Can you tell me a little bit?
It's almost sinister, really, the way it happens. I think most of it happens because, you know, in our society where we rely so much on specialists, where everybody is an expert in something and knows not very much about anything else, the go-to people are for the past are the mainstream, the established archaeologists, and they are invested in a particular model of the past, which sees us as the end product, the apex and the pinnacle of a long, slow, uninterrupted evolutionary story from, you know, primitive Stone Age man, so-called primitive Stone Age man, mm-hmm. through until, you know, the Neolithic and the development of cities and then technology, and here we are at the top of all that, the apex and the pinnacle of the human story. And the suggestion that we may have lost a whole civilization from the record, that being an advanced civilization isn't enough to protect us from the anger of the cosmos when it is directed against us, that suggestion disturbs that story. And furthermore, it suggests that the archaeologists may actually have got the most fundamental issue, the origins of civilization itself, may have got that completely wrong. Remember that history is a story. Mm-hmm. It is, in fact, often his story as well. They're dominated by males. Yes. And it's a narrative. And what is needed now is a thoroughly argued, coherent, worked out alternative narrative. And that's what I've tried to provide in Magicians of the Gods, and to root it and ground it in the latest scientific evidence, so that we're not dealing with wishy-washy suppositions here. We're dealing with hard evidence and hard data, which challenges the existing paradigm, and which I believe in due course will require that paradigm to be changed, just as other scientific models of the world have had to be changed in the past because new evidence overwhelms them.
Mm-hmm. So what is the progress right now with some of these dig sites around the world? I know Gönül Pening.
Göbekli Tepe in Turkey is an incredibly, incredibly important 11,600-year-old megalithic site that just doesn't make any sense in terms of the existing model of history. Unfortunately, the lead excavator there, Professor Klaus Schmidt, who I knew personally, who showed me around the site, who my interview with him is cited in mm-hmm. Magicians of the Gods. Unfortunately, he passed away in the summer of July 2014. And it's left the site a little bit leaderless. A new man has taken over, but he doesn't appear to have, you know, quite the character and the dynamism and the drive that Klaus Schmidt had. And I suspect that we're going to see less and less access to the real secrets of that site rather than more and more. I hope it won't be the case. I can't predict exactly how it'll be, but I'm sad that Klaus Schmidt passed, because he really... Yeah. You know, had a grip on understanding that site. And likewise, in Indonesia, the archaeological lobby in Indonesia has actually, for more than a year now, stopped the further excavation of the mysterious 20,000-year-old pyramid of Gunung Padang, claiming that they want the budgets that were allocated to that their own apparently much more important projects. There's been a change of government in Indonesia. The former government was very much behind the excavations. The new government has stopped the excavations. And again, this is most unsatisfactory, and this is not how science should proceed. But yeah. I'm hoping that we will see a restart of the excavations in Indonesia. I was talking to Danny Hilman Natwijaja, PhD, who is the geologist who's been doing the investigation of that site. I talked to him just a week or so ago, and he's confident that they will get the excavations restarted, that they've made the case to the new president of Indonesia, and that it's going to happen. And I hope he's right, because we need to know what's in there.
Me too. I guess my question as we close out the show is, what can people do? What can your everyday human do to help push these ideas forward, to help tell their organizations and their governments that they want to see more of this research, that they want to see money going towards understanding space and the comets, towards understanding our ancient future? How can people make a difference?
What I would most like to see done is crowdfunding for the research into the comet impacts. As I mentioned, this is scientific work. It's being done by a team of more than 30 major scientists from all around the world. And they have found it impossible to get funding for their research. They've had to fund it themselves. So what we know about these impacts is a result of the initiatives of these scientists. They're taking financial risks, funding their own research over a period of years without a penny from other sources. I think this is perfect research to be crowdfunded. I've been talking to those scientists, and it's likely that a crowdfunding appeal will be put up before too long. There couldn't be any more significant or important science regarding the hidden past of humanity than the investigation of the cataclysm that took place between 12,800 and 11,600 years ago. And it's perfect for crowdfunding. And it might be the first time that crowdfunding really gets behind groundbreaking scientific research and changes our view of the past and indeed of the future as well.
I love that idea. And of course, if that happens, please let me know so that I can put it out there for everyone and
absolutely.
I can get involved.
If that happens, we will definitely let you know. And this is going to be a fantastic crowdfunding exercise. And again, you know, what it's saying is the old authorities don't rule us anymore. We are capable of doing things in a new way in the future. And that's exactly what we're going to do.
Perfect. And I just want to announce Julian Luis Fernandez in Miami, Florida. You are one of the winners of that signed book plate. So congratulations. And there is another winner as well named Samuel Davidson in Washington State. And we still have one more. So if you want that last book plate, you can email me at drkellyneff@gmail.com or tweet me after the show on Twitter. We are going to be wrapping up the show right now, but you do have a few more minutes if you want to call in or ask a question, 1-800-930-2819. I just want to say, Graham, you know, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Well, thanks for having me on the show. And if I could say my website again, it's just
absolutely
my name, grahamhancock.com. It's a good point of contact for everything I do, for all my outreach, and there's lots of information about Magicians of the Gods there.
Yes, and I can't recommend this book enough. It literally took me to like a whole new world and got me thinking, and I read it out loud to lots of people, and I just got really excited about it. So if you're into this whole mysteries of our society and civilization, you need to read this book. And also, Graham's presence on Facebook is absolutely wonderful. Tons of up-to-date information, great videos, great interviews. So if you just look for him on Facebook, Graham Hancock. Yeah.
The link to my author Facebook page is right there on my website, so it's easy to find it.
Perfect. Well, that being said, I'm wrapping up the show. So, Graham, thank you so much for sharing such inspiring and thoughtful information and being such an eloquent, wonderful guest. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. I had such a great time. In the future, you can join me every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Mountain, and 2 p.m. Pacific on KKNW 1150 a.m. Seattle and WBLQ 1230 a.m. broadcasting from Rhode Island, Connecticut, and New York. And you can also find me at thelucidplanet.com and connect with me on Facebook, Twitter, and SoundCloud at The Lucid Planet with Dr. Kelly. Well, next week on Lucid Planet Radio, we are pleased to welcome Russell Friedman, who is a leading expert on grief and the author of the Grief Recovery Handbook. And we're going to talk about something which is really important, which is how to handle the holidays after losing the people and the pets that we love. So don't miss that show. I know many of us are going through it, including me. Light and love. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Tons of gratitude and love to everybody out there. And we will see you next week. Take care.
You've been listening to The Hit Show, Lucid Planet Radio, with renowned psychologist and author, Dr. Kelly Neff. Tune in each week as we illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. This hit show will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake up to the greatest version of yourself. Learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness as you explore the deeper knowledge, passion, and purpose within. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for upcoming show topics and to contact Dr. Kelly.